Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Mem Hei. And we're holding three lines up from the bottom on Mem Dalet Amud Beit. Tani Shiva. So we know that we have a number of different issues when it comes to the Nara. One of them, when we're talking about in the Din of Motzi Shemra, is the case where Anara actually was discovered to really be guilty of what her husband claims, and that she had been Mizana, and it turns out that there were witnesses that she was Mizana. So it says over there that there's a special halacha in which even though the normal Misa for an adulteress would be Chenek, in this case, there's a special din because of the Kiddush of Anara Hamurasa, that Mitata is Biskila. However, remember that this is all talking about where the husband accuses her and says, Lo Matzati, the Bitcha Betulim, and so on. But there's also the normal halacha, which has nothing to do with the husband. And that was in a case where before she even went to the chuppah with her husband, we find out just with witnesses that she was already mureset, but she was still living in her father's rishos. And there, if she is mizana, there's also a special din that applies to a na'ara hamu'urasa. But it's not exactly the same din, even though it's true that there is a halacha over there of skila as opposed to chenek, but note the differences. So when it comes to the case of the Motzi Shemra, so the pasuk says, v'im emet hayah hadavar hazeh lo nimtzu betulim la'na'ara, which means that there were edim that she had actually been mizana. So it says there, v'otziu et hanara el pitach beit avia, uzgalua anshe iraba avanim v'meita, and then we had all the guest on Nevala b'Yisrael, and that was the special halacha that this doesn't apply in cases where it wasn't hirasa v'leidas, and so on. But it says, petach beit avia, which means that wherever it was that she was living with her husband, it could be very far away from petach beit avia. Nonetheless, it says, to take her to Petach Beit Aviyah. However, there's also a completely different parsha, remember, which just describes a Nara that's in her father's house and has not as yet actually gotten married. She still is a Nara Mu'urasa. So it says over there, Kiye Nara Betu'alah Mu'uresa Be'ish, and then V'nimtzo B'sadeh, V'otzeitem et shneyem al shar ha'ir ayi. There it's talking about where she was Adnara, Dvar, Shalot, Saka, and so on and so forth. So over there it says that you should take her out El Sha'ar Ha'irahi, both of them actually, but the Nara is taken out to the gates of the city where she was Mizana, as opposed to Petach Beit Avia. So that's a completely separate din. And then there's a third variation that we need to take into consideration, which is what happens if the Nara is no longer a Nara at the time of the din. So she, suppose at the time of her adultery, she was an Ara, and at this point, she's grown up and she's a full Bulgaret. Is the special halacha of the skila of an Ara still applicable to her because of the fact that that's when the chait took place? Or is she now reverts to being a regular woman who committed adultery with witnesses and atra and so on? And over there, the chi of Misa is of chenek. Therefore comes along Shila, Tani Shila, in this Braita, Shalosh Midot Benara. So actually we have three separate situations about the Chiyuv of Misa in a Nara who was married, who was Mizana, and she was Mu'ureset. Now, so number one, let's say Bo'la Eden Bebeit Chamia. She's living now with her husband, meaning it's after already the Chuppah. And there, wherever that is, the Eden show up to say that, yes, she actually had committed adultery while she was back with Beit Aviyah, and she was a Nara Mu'urasa. So, as we read in the Pasuk, it says, Beferish v'otziu et ha'nara el petach Beit Aviyah uzkalua she'ira. So she has to be taken back to where she grew up, and that is where the skila is done by the people in that town. And as we'll see, the issue over there is, klomar, Ru'u gidulim shigidaltem, that we want actually the family to take responsibility. This is what you managed to raise, this no goodnik of a child. And that is part of the onesh. Now, how about Bola Eden Bebet Avia? How about she had not yet moved in with her husband, meaning that there had never been a chuppah? And we have Eden that come along. Of course, this has nothing to do with Motzi Shemra. The husband hasn't slept with her. He knows nothing about this. And they start, we find out what witnesses, then the din is that it does not say anything about Beit Avia. Instead, the halacha is over there. So over there, Soklinota al petach sha'ar ha'ir. Now, what about in either of these cases, that by the time we actually have the din, she's already a bogeret. So suppose sarcha, she did the act while she was in Hara, v'lebesof bagra, then the halacha is, tidon b'chenek, she reverts to the same status as any other married woman would be. And the special status of a nara that grants her a special reserve death penalty of skila is not for her. She's just a regular girl right now. Now, as to Gemara, it doesn't have a parsha that says that in the Torah anywhere. You seem to be making an assumption. The assumption is that if her status changed, in other words, she's no longer the status as defined in the Torah of the chet, namely she's no longer Nara. So despite the fact that the chet was done at the time that she was in Nara, but that is irrelevant to us, we look at the time that it is now, right? Now, is that really something that is a general rule? Is that what you're telling me? That wherever there is a change in status, we'll see, there's different ways to change status that will affect the chiyuv on a person. So whenever there is a change in status, you're telling me that we can assume that that change affects the chiyuv misa, or whatever chiyuv there was, if it's a changeable chiyuv, would affect it. So lamemer de kolechad ishtani gufa, ishtani katla. So when a status changes, in this case, the status is the status of her body, but we'll see that there's other cases as well. Veramini, is that true, however? Because there's a braita that says, Narahamu urasasha zinta, and then she had already became a bogeret. She gets married, and then her husband discovers she doesn't have betulim, and so at that point, he's motzio al shemra, and at that point, we discover that either that he was lying or that it was true, and we have witnesses. So there, the halacha is like this, that in the event that it turns out that he was lying, there's no chiyuv of malchus on him, there's no din of his paying mea sela, because what he did to a bogeret, and not to a na'ara. So he is not included in the din of motzi shemra. On the other hand, if it turns out that what he said was true, so then, even though she is currently a bogeret, he, the zomameha, makdimim lebet haskila. So she and or the Aden that had been made, that she had been mezana, who turned out to be lying, and they were Aden zomamim, and the din is that if they're Aden zomamim, then they get whatever misa that they wanted to give her, right? The misa that they wanted to give her, and her own misa, therefore, would be makdimim lebet haskila. We take them out in the morning to the Beit HaSkila for their execution. So what are you talking about? He v'zomemer. How could it be he v'zomemer? Are you crazy? Salkadaita? Obviously, it means either he, if it turns out that they were saying the truth, he ate him, or if they were lying, the zomemer would take the place of he. Come on, stop bothering me. Anyways, it means, oh, he, oh, zomemer, are magdim el Beit HaSkila. So what do we see from here? That even though she was a bogeret, at the time that the husband is Motzi Shemra, because it's not Motzi Shemra in this case, it turned out to be true, but even though she at the time that she was Mizana, she was a Nara, despite the fact that she became a Bogeret afterwards, it doesn't bother us. She still is considered to be a Nara Ha-Mu'urasa that was Mizana. And Shila's Braita said, not like that, it said, that if her status changes, so too does her misa change. So this is a direct contradiction to the brisa that we brought before from Tanit Veshila. Omar Rava, hold on a minute. You're getting very confused. Remember that there are two separate cases. One is the case of the Motzi Shemra. And that's the case we're talking about over here. The other case, cases 2 and 3 that Sheila had brought, we're not talking about Moti Shema. They were talking about that witnesses came that a girl had been Mizana, and currently she's still a Nara. That was case number 2, and we said she gets Skila. Case number 3 was witnesses came that a Nara had been Mizana, and currently she's a Bogeret, and then she gets Chenek. Now, that's still true, says Rava. What's your problem? You're asking on Sheila from a case of a Motzi Shemra, correct? You're not asking from a normal case of a Nara. The whole din of Motzi Shemra is totally different. And it's true that when it comes to Motzi Shemra, there is no change in her status if she became a Boger. It makes no difference to the Misa. But when it comes to the normal case of Znus, there is a difference. Because generally speaking, it is correct to say, as you suggested earlier yourselves, kol makom, wherever there is going to be a change, kol hechad ishtani gufa ishtani ketala. That's true. But Motzi Shemra does not fall under that same rule for a very simple reason. Shiny Motzi Shemra the chidashu. Remember, we have a general rule that when something that's like completely out of norms, this whole thing about being Chayav Malkus, paying 100 shekel, and the special din of the Nara, this is a complete chiddush that violates our norms. It's a knas. You cannot apply dinim that normally apply to these dinim of knas. So excuse me. The question is just based on a mistaken assumption that when you said kol hecha, you mean literally kol hecha, not kol hecha. In other words, any normal din, yes. Not knas. So therefore, in this case, there's no change. And it's obvious, a chiddush, because, I mean, over here, consider this. Normally, if a girl was nichnas olachupa, and she got married, and she still has not consummated that marriage, but she went through the chupa, right? If at that point she was mizana, what would be the din? She would be considered to be a regular married woman. And there would be no din of skila. I mean, why? She's still a Nara Betula, isn't she? But the point is that the Torah has made a statement only legabe the din of the Motzi Shemra. If the Motzi Shemra, he says about a Nara that had been already in the chuppah, and he claimed that she had been Mizana before, we don't say in that case, what's the din? The din in that case, that's the standard Motzi Shemra, isn't it? The standard Motzi Shemra is that he's claiming that when she was a Nara, and now she's already a regular married woman, right? Well, that's the case in the Torah. But he is saying that what happened to her had happened before he took her to the chuppah, and that's his whole taina. And now she is already post-chuppah. Well, in a normal case, the halacha over there would be that the chuppah ipso facto changes her status. If a regular woman, forget about Motzi Shemra, the moment she goes to the chuppah, she is now a nisua, correct? She's not a nara amurasa. Do I care whether she's a betula or a bula? No, I don't care. She's just a married woman who committed adultery. That's all. In this particular case, we say, no, wait a minute, this is not a normal case. This is a case where the husband is discussing something that had happened prior to his marriage with her. And the Torah says beferish that despite the fact that she is the equivalent of a bogeret in the sense that she's already been to the chuppah, that I don't care. Every case of Nara Muras is exactly this case by the case of Motzi Shemra. So how are you going to apply the standard to Motzi Shemra, for heaven's sakes? Because Ilam Motzi Shemra, if it turned out that in fact she had been Mizana, it's Skila. And we don't say, well, but it's Nishtana Dina. I mean, now it's different. She has a whole different status because she went to the Chuppah. No, we don't say that. So obviously Motzi Shemra is not part of these normal halachas. And therefore the same thing should be true about a Nara Hamurasa who was Mizana, Shezinta. It's no different than going to the Chuppah. Going to the Chuppah changes her status normally. Does it change her status for the Motzi Shemra? No. So Bogeret changes her status? Yes. So therefore, does it have to change her status for the Motzi Shemra if he tells us that the events happened prior to the Bogra? No. Same exact thing. That proves it, I think, says Rava. Don't ask any questions of the Tanit Veshila from our case of Motzi Shemra. Amale Ravuna Breda of Yeshua the Rava. Now, hold on a second. Now you're bringing a proof from something that is a bridge too far. Because don't you think that there's a difference between a case that the din changed? She went to the chuppah. Did anything change in her? No. She was not nivelas. She didn't get older. Nothing changed. She just waved the chuppah over her head, right? So, okay, you're saying that is a change in her din. Yes, it is. But is it a change in her body? No. I mean, can you really prove that a change in the status of her body from Anara to Bogeret wouldn't make any difference just because the din about her coming to the chuppah wouldn't make any difference? Does that necessarily follow? Maybe, Dilmar Kichadi Trachman, the Chiddush of the Torah, you're saying it's a Chiddush, we can't therefore change anything. But the Chiddush of the Torah was talking about specifically the Lo Ishtane Gufa. Where did the Torah ever give us a Chiddush about that? It doesn't say anything about that. And therefore, in the same way that you are admitting that if it wouldn't be for the complication of Motzi Shemra, witnesses come forward and they say that she was Mizana Bebet Avia when she was a Nara. You are admitting that nonetheless, if currently she's a Bogeret, the halacha is that she gets Chenek. So then maybe the same thing ought to be true about a Nara Murasa. And nonetheless, it says over here, not like that. So why does the Brisa say that she's Beskila? I don't see that you've proved the difference. Elam Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, the truth is, the concept of change is not necessarily related to this issue of physical changes, halachic changes. There's a general machlokis tanoim that has to do with changes of status vis-a-vis the way that the Torah views you. For instance, suppose someone is a Kohen Gadol. When he does a chait, he's only chayev, the din of a chatas, if he made a mistake in horah, correct? If he just does a chait the way regular people do a chait, he doesn't bring a carbon. Furthermore, when he does make a mistake, he makes a psak, and then follows through with it, what carbon does he bring? He brings a par kohen gadol. Well, nobody else does that. They bring a seira or a kispa, right? How about a nasi? Well, a special din of a carbon nasi. What is that? Seir nasi. So a carbon brought on a chet of a normal chet of a chatas that anyone else would be bringing a seira or a kispa, the nasi brings a soyer. Now, what happens if at the time that the chet was committed, this kohen gadol was just a regular kohen, and this nasi was just a regular guy? He hadn't been appointed yet as nasi. So what is the halacha over there? Now, those are changes in status, and we find that indeed there's a machlokas tanoim precisely about that situation, and undoubtedly that would explain the two brises. One brisa that says that we go according to the current status and there's a change, and that if she was bogra, we would not give her skila, we would give her chenek. That's going according to the same shita that would say that by the nasi and by the kohen gadol. And so, okay, so everything is explained now. The Tana Devei Shila that claims that a change in status effectuates a change in carbon or in onesh would be according to one of these tanoim. So let's take a look at these tanoim. Alam Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, the question of ishtane velo ishtane, changes in status, is a well-known machlokes tanoim, which appears in a Mishnah, the Tanan, where we're talking about a nasi or a kohen, mashuach. The din is like this. If either of these two guys were chotu achalo nitmanu, suppose the chait that they did as regular people before becoming a kohen gadol, before becoming a nasi. So then the halacha is, hare hein kehed yotot, according to the Tanakhama, they bring a typical, they have a choice, bringing a kispa, si'ira, just like anybody else. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no, wait a minute, says Rabbi Shimon, there's two issues to take into consideration over here. Remember that a chatas comes into a chiev when you find out about the chet, right? That's called noda. So we have to take into consideration both the status at the time of the chet and the status at the time that the chiev of the chatas is chal. Now this is fascinating because this is exactly the issue that we're talking about over here. the status at the time of the chet, where she was a nara, and the status in this case in which the chiyav is chal, when she is a bogeret, that we paskin that she's chayav misa. So Rabbi Shimon says, im no dalehem, says, when they found out they were chote, before they had become the nasi who would bring a sawyer, or the kohen mashiach who would bring a par. So then, yes, then they bring the korban like the Tanakhama said. They bring the korban that was supposed to be brought because everything about that korban took place before the change in status. So they found out as a regular guy. They did the chet as a regular guy. At that moment, they were chayev, and boom. So that chiyav remains. It doesn't disappear because they changed. That's obvious. The change is going to take away a chiyav that was pre-existing. But if, however, in a case where they found out only mishenitmanu, only after they were appointed, as the Nasir, as the Kohen Gadol, respectively, right? Then they don't bring any korban. Because since there is a change in their status, so then there never was a time that they could become chayev like a regular person. But on the other hand, the Torah said that it was for the chet of a nasi, and over here the chet didn't take place as a nasi, and therefore they can't bring either any korban, either a normal korban or a special korban, and because of that, the whole chayev is batal. So if that's the case, over here by the nara murasa, who is Mizana and was a bogeret, that means according to Rabbi Shimon, since her status changed, so too her din changed. And therefore, she would get the normal din. Over here, of course, there's no concept of no dad, but it goes according to the chiyav of the time that the Beis Din is now mechayever. So she gets chenek and not skila. So the brisa that says that she gets the brisa of Shila, that says she gets chenek. Fine, so that was going with Rabbi Shimon. The brisa that says that there's no change, and in the case of the Na'arav that was Motzi Shemra, because remember, we're trying to say now there's no difference in any of the cases of the Chiyav. It's nothing to do with Motzi Shemra being different, the way that Rava was insisting. It's simply a Machlokes Tanaim, and therefore we can apply it here to the two brisas without any problem. Well, wait a minute, says the Gemara. What do you mean without any problem? The only thing I see in Rabbi Shimon of here, who says that if there was a change in their status and they were appointed Kohen Gadol, they're appointed Nasi, that they're Potter, that is only in the case of where there was a change between the Chet, right, and the Yediya. So what he was saying is there has to be a matchup, so that the chet and the yediya have to match. So that means the ozil af pater yediya. Rabbi Shimon didn't say, let's ignore the chet. Let's ignore the time of the chet. Rabbi Shimon said that we need to look at the time of the yediya as well. But what you're saying is that the ozil batar yediya velo ozil baser chata'a mishamatle. Over here you're saying that according to Rabbi Shimon, it should be the same din by the Na'ara Murasa, that we should look only right now at current situation. We don't take into consideration the chet. I don't see that, excuse me. Where do you see that? He didn't say anything like that at all. I don't see why it's directly dependent in this case. So what Rabbi Shimon says proves to you that necessarily he holds like the Tani Shila, that she gets chenek, the way it is now, and we completely ignore what the status was of the skila before? Because, I mean, if it's true that Rabbi Shimon would have held that you go only after the current status, why does he say you don't bring either carbon? Why didn't he say, laisi carbon kiashta? Bring whatever carbon you're chayev now. The par for the koi mashuach and the nasi would bring the sawyer, but he doesn't say that. True. You know, there's not really any good way out of this. The way out of it is changing the girsa, basically, which is what Rabbi Yochanan did. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, the Tana. Rabbi Yochanan said to the Tana, who was telling him over the brisa of Shila, he said, no, you got it wrong, my friend. What you should say is Tidon Biskila. We don't find anyone that would say that her status of Bagra makes a difference in the Chi of Misa. Do not use those words, tidon b'chenek. That's not true. Take a look at the other braisa, and we don't find anyone who says otherwise. But why? Asks the Gemara. I mean, lemaisa, why should she get skila? I mean, there is a posik that says na'ara hamu'urasa. And this is not a na'ara hamu'urasa. So you're basically being sokel, a bogeret. So why is that necessarily true? Omer below, that's because remember back in the Parsha Matzishemra, we also have the extra hana'ara. It says vahotziu et hana'ara. Now I could have just said vahotziuha. This was the same drosha that we made, remember, about na'ara, na'ara, hana'ara, betula, betula, habetula, when it came to the dinim of the onesimafata. The same word appears by the mu'urasa. And that is coming to add hana'ara, the one that was the original na'ara. Otherwise, I could just take her out. But by saying as long as she was a na'ara, that one, the one that was aforementioned na'ara, I don't care what she is now. Is she the aforementioned na'ara? Yes. Okay, that's all that I worry about. That's a special din. So that even though she's bogeret, there's still the halacha is v'saklua. Omele Rebbe Chananya le Rebbe Ila. I mean, if you're going to tell me that the concept of na'ara is expanded over here to talk about the aforementioned na'ara, so then that means that the all elements of the case should be looked at in the sense of what would the status have been at the time, right? So then why doesn't it affect the man as well? You said, since she's a bogeret, there's no din of malchus on him if he turned out to be lying. And since she's a bogeret, there's no din of knas of mea shekel. But now that you've expanded the envelope of the case to include that which was, so then if it's that which was, then he is the motzi shemra on that which was, and therefore he should be chayev malchus, as if he had been motzi shemra on a na'ara. And he should be chayev the mea shekel, as if he had been motzi shemra on the na'ara that was. It says the na'ara, right? Omar leis Rabbi Lo, said to Rabbi Chananya, boy, you need help, bad. Rachmona nitzlan mihai daite, may the Lord save us from your sick mind. That is the stupidest question I have ever heard. To which Rabbi Chananya said, I'd say on the contrary, God should save us from your sick mind. What's wrong with my mind? Anyway, so as Rashi explains, look, he obviously felt that there was there's something that's so obviously different, and he's not looking into the depth of the case at all. He's just treating everything from a surface point of view and unwilling to relate to the thing, which is das. I mean, it's just no, you know, you talk about things without relating to them. Isn't it obvious why that is stupid? Not to me, it isn't. Okay. So why then, says the Gemara, why is it so obvious? Time am I. So what is this hidden issue? It's very simple, says Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba, or some say it was Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba. Look, the point is that the onesh is always a response to what the person did, correct? Forget about the broadening of the envelope to include the na'ara which was. But the na'ara which was the na'ara who had sinned at that time, right? The guy is sinning currently by saying these things about a bogeret. So why does the fact that the na'ara which was change the bogeret which is? He's relating to the bogeret which is, and that is the reason that he should be punished. But the Torah never gave the punishment to Mea Shekel for talking about a bogeret, which is what he's doing. That's the solution, obviously. Don't just look at the issue of what the case is referring to. So therefore, Ma'aseha Gormula v'chiev skila, and he, v'zeh akimat svatav gormulo. It's the way that he talked about her that was the source of his chiev. So therefore, zo ma'aseha gormula, and therefore, kishi zanai, kinara zanai. Ma'ashein kein he, akimat svatav gormulo, at what point was he chayev there? What did he do? Hayishaita. So he became, he was mitchayev at that moment when he was motzi shemra. But at that moment, she was a bogeret, and there is no chiyuv on a bogeret. Now, the question that we spoke about, which was the difference between the status of the Nara Murasa in a case of Motzi Shemra versus the status of Nara Murasa in a case of just Adim showing up and saying that she was Mizana, was the difference that one of them is Soklinota Petach Betavia, because it says Beferish in the case of Motzi Shemra that Im Emet, if it was true, so then we take her Lepetach Bet Avia. And the other case, we go to the gates of the city where she had been Mizana, where she was really an Arusa still in her father's home. So now, it says in the Braita like this, the Nara HaMu'rasa Shezintan, we're not referring to the case of the Stam, the one that was discovered. We're talking about the Motzi Shemra, where we take her, so Klinotol Petach Beit Avia, as we said, to say Re'u Gidulim Shegidaltam. What if there was no Petach Beit Av? We spoke about this earlier, of course, but this is the Drasha. Then, Soklina al Petashar Ha'ir Ha'i. So, in that case, her father doesn't have a home to go to a Petach Beit Avia. So then we go to the city in which she had been Mizana. However, in an Ir Sheruba of Deko Chavim, we don't do that. We'll see, we learn that from a Pasek. But rather, what we do is we go to the Petach of Beit Din. And when it says we go to the Petach of Beit Din, it does not mean literally that we go to the Petach Beit Din, because that implies that Beit Din are murderers, and it gives them a very bad taste to people about Beis Din. The Beis Eskil is not at the Beis Din. And the same thing is true of Ir, means to the closest Shara Ir, but not literally the one closest to the Beis Din, but not the actual Shara of the Beis Din. And the same thing is true about an Ovid Avad Iskachavi. So, Klinoto al Shar She'avadbo, the Skila takes place in the city, in the Shar of the city that he did the Avad Zara, and there too it's true that Be'ir Shuruba of the Kachavim, so Klinoto al Petach Beit Din, and it turns out that both of these didn't are learnt from each other. Minanimili. So, how do we know this? How do we know that an Ovid Avad Iskachavim and the Nara HaMurasa, in the event that there is no Petach Beit Avia, that the Mokom of Skila is in the city in which the Chet took place. The Tana Rabbana, by the din of Aveda Zara. So it says, Beferish in the Torah, that you should take out, Beferish, it says, Otseita et Aisha Hua, O et Aisha, Agi El Shearecha, Uzkaltem Ba Avanim Vametu. So the Sha'arecha is a reference to the Sha'ar She'avadba. And therefore, this must be Sha'ar She'avadba. And therefore, the same thing with, well, I don't know, we'll see. I mean, this is your contention. I don't know. Why should I believe you? Ata omer Sha'ar She'avadba? Is that necessarily the case? Maybe it just means the Sha'ar Ha'ir with a Beis Din Paskin. I mean, maybe 100 miles away. Who's to say that you're mechuyev to transport them to the Shar She'avadbo? Ah, that I can prove to you. Because note that the Parsha begins with the concept of She'arecha. Because the whole Parsha of Avodah Zarah begins with the posik of, if you find people, Be'achad She'arecha, She'ashem Elokecha, and it turns out that they were Avodah Zarah, then the word Sha'arecha is referring to the same Shar at the beginning, right? And at the beginning it was referring to, specifically, the Shar that you did. You found them Be'achad She'arecha. So that's where they were being Ovid Avodah Zarah. So then we're not going to say that the first part of the pasuk was talking about Sha'arecha, and then at the end when it says, okay, what do you do with them? You take them out to the Sha'arecha. That's a different Sha'arecha? No. So the Shar that you take them out is the Shar of the Sha'arecha that it opens with. I mean, that's only logical, isn't it? So therefore, it's a given that I'm right, and that the Shar it's referring to, Ma Sha'arecha Omer Lamala, is the Shar Sha'avad Bo, which is Ki Matzei Bikir Becha Be'achad Sha'arecha Yisho Isha Asher Yaseh Tara B'nei Hashem Elokecha. That is Echad Sha'arecha where they did it. So therefore, the Sha'arecha Omer Lamata, which is talking about giving them skila, is referring to the Shar of the Ir She'avadba. Furthermore, there's another interesting thing, which of course addresses the other issue of the city that is Goyim. Man, there's no Barnea here to do a L'chaim. What are we, There we go. But I don't know, that doesn't look like booze to me. No, I thought the doc was going to come to the rescue here with all that good stuff behind him. He's afraid we'll just all run in there. All right, so then I'll just have to make do on my own. Naftali, I know you've got some stuff there. So a dovracher shah recha, this has to be a Jewish shah, but not if it's a city of goyim. Lo share of de kochavim, because then the question of being oved avodah zarah in that city, that does not have that impact on the nature of the city, which anyway is yarud, because it's filled with the churches of these oved avodah kochavim. Well, you can't use that shah recha again. You just used the shah recha to tell me that it's a reference to the city that you did the Maisa of the Avodah Zarah. So how can you use it now to stress that it has to be a Jewish city? No, because it's two things. It could have just said, Otsio El Sha'ar. Why does it have to say Sha'arecha? So therefore, the reason it says Sha'arecha has told me both things. It's Dafka, your Sha'ar and not Sha'ar of Goyim. Okay, so far so good in terms of explaining to us the Avodah Zarah. You said the same thing is true about a Nahara HaMa'urasa. How do we know that the Nahara HaMa'urasa also all of these dinim apply? Minola. How do we know that she is niskelet if there is no father, father's house, she's niskelet in the ear that she was mizana? Well, Omer Rebbe Abbo, we learn out Gzeira Shava. It's actually a question, as we'll see later on, but it's a real Gzeira Shava, which would mean that we learn out all of the dinim, or it is like a remez. But anyway, we learn out Gzeira Shava from the Petach. It says a Petach Beit Aviyah, right? And the Petach Beit Aviyah is the same word, Petach, that is used for the Mishkan. Now, in the Mishkan, it says the word Masach, Petach, Shaar, Achatzer. Now look at that. Petach Sha'ar. Aha. So now Petach relates to Sha'ar directly over here by the Mishkan, right? And once that's true, I can learn out that the Petach that applies by the Mishkan can be learned out from the Sha'ar, which we just learned is the Sha'ar She'ovad Bo, in the case of Avodah Kochavim, which was Sha'ar is learned from Sha'arecha. Aha. So put it all together, and what do you get? The Nahara HaMa'urasa also is taken to the Skila at the gates of that city, and not if it's city of Avodah Zarah, and so on and so forth. So everything follows directly from that. Tana Rabbanan. Motzi Shemra gets Malkus. It says, Beferish Lakhu, where it turns out that he was lying. It says, V'lakhu Ziknei Yiret HaIshahu V'Yisruoto. V'Yisruoto means, you know, give him a little bit of torture. So that means that he gets Malkus. We're going to see how we know that that means literally Malkus. And besides that, he has to pay a knas of mea sela, because it says also ve'anchuoto mea kesef. So now the question is like this, gentlemen. Let us think about Motzi Shemra for a moment, because the way that it's presented in the Torah is that the father comes along and he says, "Is biti natati li shazeh," and he didn't like her, and now he says to me, "Lo matzati le bitcha betulim." Here's the betulei biti, and that's how the whole thing starts. And suppose it doesn't happen that way. Suppose the guy really, he doesn't know anything about it. Maybe he hasn't even consummated his marriage. In which case, even though he went to the chuppah, he can't say, "Lo matzati lebitcha petulim." The guy says, "How did you expect to find petulim, you idiot?" So that can't be the case, right? So let's imagine a case like this. Guy goes, takes his new wife to the chuppah, and these two edim walk over to him and say, "Listen, buddy, this girl is asura to you. What are you talking about? Good yichus. Good yichus, yeah, but she's been sleeping around for the past year while she was an arusa to you with so-and-so. We saw it." So now he comes into Beis Din and he says, "Look, guys, I don't know anything about this, but these guys came over and they say that my wife was actually asura to me. And is that Motzi Shemra as well?" In other words, suppose that's what he claims, and then he was lying. Or maybe those witnesses were found to be Edom Zomimim, or whatever. Is that an alternative scenario to a Motzi Shemra? Is a Motzi Shemra limited to cases where he can say Lo Matzati L'Bitcha Ptulim? So this is not very clear. And it turns out that these dinim are actually machlokasim. So one question that we have to wonder about is, are all of the dinim of Motzi Shemra limited to cases where he could at least say Lo Matzati L'Bitcha Ptulim? So at least it was after he had already consummated his marriage. I mean, that's our first question. Suppose he had consummated his marriage. And he isn't saying that personally, I know, I'm no expert, so I can't tell you if I was Motzi B'Tcha Ptulim, but these witnesses claim that she didn't have any Ptulim. What about that? So we have three layers over here. Does he need to have actually slept with her? Does he need to have slept with her and personally to present the taina that Lo Matzati Ptulim? And if he did sleep with her and there's an alternative, namely there's Edom, would that be enough? Or the first piece was, maybe he didn't even need to sleep with her at all. So this is a question. So now let's take a look at the Braisa. Tana Rabbana. Motzi Shemra, we said, is loke, and he's also we said that he has to also pay. The Mea Sela, it says, Vanshua to Mea Kesef, says Rabbi Yehuda. Well, now, it's not the same thing. You might think that you would always get the Malkus and you would always get the Knas, but that's not necessarily true. Lilkot, as far as the Malkus is concerned, you always get Malkus. That's true. So in other words, whether you had consummated this marriage or not, whatever the taina was, maybe it was a taina that there were witnesses. I don't know. But if it turned out that you brought witnesses that were liars, now we'll see later on, there's also a question of, you brought witnesses that were liars, or you hired witnesses to lie? Because remember, I mean, that's now already a different darga. What are we talking about? That you created the problem, said the Motzi Shemra, was that you not only accused her, but you arranged for backup on the accusation, which could have gotten her killed, right? So is that what we're talking about? Again, that's a sub-machlokas, but let's first discuss the case. Is Motzi Shemra limited to at least the potential of being able to say, I personally, Lo Matzati L'Bitcha Ptulim, or not? So says Rabbi Yehuda, look, when it comes to the Malkus part, it doesn't matter whether he was Baaler before or not. The issue over there would be, he would be Chayev Malkus. Now, we're going to see that the Chayev Malkus, according to Rabbi Yehuda, let's think about this for a minute. Gavi, let's think about this for a minute. I got to get everybody into this. The question over here is, what exactly are we getting Malkus for? What was this punishment for? What did he do? I mean, remember, there's no such thing as getting Malkus if there isn't somewhere that the terrorist said, do not do what you set out here to do. So now, the question is, this particular Malkus, is it a new chiddush of Motzi Shemra, or is it something that is part of an existing halacha, which I know? Now, if there is a existing halacha of lo teilech rachil ba'amcha, obviously that means that there's an iser to be Motzi Shemra, right? That's the Isser of Lashon Hara, and that's the Isser of Motzi Shemra. Now, normally we say, we're not going to give someone Malkus for speaking Lashon Hara. But why? Because it's considered to be a Lav She'ein Bo Ma'aseh. But according to Rav Yehuda, he holds that a Lav She'ein Bo Ma'aseh Lokin Alav, which means that since this person was Motzi Shemra, he was over on the standard Lav of Lo Teilech Rachil Be'amecha, and that's what the Malkus part is. It's not part of the specific dinim of Motzi Shemra. Okay, so therefore, when it comes to the Malkus, says Rabbi Yehuda, I don't care whether it fits the bill. Does it fit into the pasuk of Lo Matzati L'Bitcha Ptulim, and so on and so forth? That's irrelevant. I never slept with her. But you were Motzi Shemra on her. Yes, okay, so then you're Chayav Malkus. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, Malkus you get come hell or high water. Masha'enkein, the din of Mea Sela, that has to fit the bill. And the Pasuk presents a case where the man says, I didn't find any betulim from your daughter, which means obviously he had to have slept with her to try to find betulim, right? Okay. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're talking about two completely different things. Masha Enkein, the Tanur Rabbanan, doesn't make any distinction, apparently. The Tanakama. He didn't say anything about Yezba, Loba, Mechomakom, Napachomakom. So therefore, what are they arguing in? Kamiflagate. Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda seem to be arguing in a big machlokas that we're going to have tomorrow. And that is the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds that the entire parsha of Motzi Shemra has to fit the pshat in those words. Lo matzati lebitcha betulim, and therefore, if he wasn't Baal, there's none of the dinim of Motzi Shemra. The Chachomim, they argue, and they say, even if you weren't Baal, if you bring Edim, it's the same thing. If they were found to be Edim that were lying, so then we're going to give you your knas, and we're going to give you your malchus, even though it didn't fit the simple meaning of the pasuk. So that machlokas apparently is the machlokas over here, in which case we understand the Braita to be saying like this. The Tanakhama says, Motzi Shemra is loke and notin me'asela, whether he was Baal or whether he was not Baal. So that was going according to the Rabbanan, who argue in Ribli Ezben Yaakov. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, when it comes to Malkus, yes, you get Malkus, but that's because the Malkus isn't really related to Motzi Shemra. The Malkus is the direct result of having been over on the Isser of speaking Lashon Hara, Lo Telech Rachil B'Amecha. That's enough to be Mechayev in Malkus. But when it comes to the Me'asela, however, the Baal Notain, Lo Baal, Lo notain, eno notain. That's exactly what Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov holds, that the Parsha Motzi Shemra was only talked about when he's Baal. And the reason that you get Malkus is not because of Motzi Shemra, but rather, as Rebbe Yehuda says, it's because of a general halacha of Lashon Hara. Whereas others say, now wait a minute, maybe this is not the correct way to understand the Rabbanim. Maybe, on the contrary, maybe this entire Bryce is going like Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. And the way to understand the Braise is like this, that the Tanakhama is saying, Amotzi Shemra Zloke and Notein Meas Sela, but I'm taking for granted that he was Baal. And Rabbi Yehuda was saying, no, I disagree. He's chayiv to get Malkus, whether he was Baal or not, not because of Amotzi Shemra, because as far as that concerned, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Motzi Shemra has to fit the bill of the pasuk. But I'm not saying you get Malkus because of Motzi Shemra. Anyway, you would get Malkus, even if you weren't Baal, and even though you had nothing to do with this parsha, but simply because of Lo Telech Rachil. And that explains the Machlokas in the exact opposite way. Why do we have to necessarily say that the Rabbanan disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? Okay, fine, I hear that. But what bothers me, says the Gemara, is the way that you're explaining Rabbi Yehuda. You're saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would always get Malkus, and that the Malkus is not dependent on the din of Motzi Shemra, and that the Malkus is a direct consequence of being over on the Yisr of Lo Telech Rachil, right? Oh, gosh, we got a Braita that has a contradiction to that. Rabbi Yehuda says in this Braita, exactly the opposite. Something's weird. The Atanya and a different Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Baal, and only if he was Baal, he's loke. But lo Baal, ain't a loke. So what are you going to do with that? How do you square this Braita, where Rabbi Yehuda says that the Malkus is dependent in matching the Pasuk of lo matzati lebitcha petulim, and only if he was Baal, and here he says, in their first Braisa, it makes absolutely no difference. You always get Malkus. Well, says Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, you know what? Maybe we misunderstand Rabbi Yehuda completely. Maybe when Rabbi Yehuda said that you always get Malkus, he means you'll get Malkus at least midrabbanan, no matter what. Because the rabbanan will go, you should get Malkus just for having done what you did. Maybe that's what it means. So, and we were wrong about this business about being chai of Malkus, even though it's a lav shem bo maizah. It's a drabbanan. Rav Papa says, no. The way we learned it right, we learned it originally, was 100% fine. It certainly there is a machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda holds you get malchus, even for a lav shein bo maisen, because of that, whether you were baal, you weren't baal, yeah, that's completely true. Now, what you're confusing is this second brisa that you brought, which is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says, if you were baal, you're loke. That doesn't mean loke with getting hit with a whip. Loke means you got to pay a fine, meaning we're going to bust you. That's what it means. You know, it's my Baal Loke defending us a Mammon. Come on, Rav Papa. I mean, come on, let's be honest. I mean, where do we ever call, what do you call Mammon Malchus? Or just to give us a hard time? Okay, that's crazy. Oh, yes, says Rav Papa. Absolutely. I'll prove it to you. It's a Beferish Mishnah, okay? Listen to this. All right, dig this. Vatnan. Ha'omer, it isn't really a Mishnah, but anyway, we pretend it is surprising. Vatnan. Ha'omer, chatzi erki alai. Somebody makes a neder, and he says, half of the value that the Torah defines as my value according to age and sex, I want to give that. That's a perfectly good neder, right? You can give half of it. You can use any standard you want to be koveya, the amount that you're going to give. I mean, so what in the world? Okay, so then no ten chatzi erko, like the Rabbanan say. What's the problem? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says the craziest thing. Loke v'noten erek sholei. Loke? For trying to give tzedakah? What is this? Loke amai, says Rav Papa. Loke doesn't mean loke with malchus. Loke means you're going to get busted and you're going to have to pay the entire erek. See, the word loke means that. Be'erek shalem. And why would that be? A gezerah. Isn't it easy to confuse a situation where you say, I'll pay half of my erech, with a situation where you say the words that I want to pay the erech of half of me? Sounds exactly the same to an amoritz, but it's totally different. If you're saying I want to pay half of my erech, that's fine. You're taking the erech. The erech is, let's say, you are worth, according to the Torah, hamishim shekel. So fine, you'll pay 25. But if you say the words, I will want to pay the erech of half of me, what is the erech of half of you? The full erech. Because the din is that even if you're just marich your heart, you pay the same full erech. Anything which is going to cause you to die if it's removed is the same as giving your erech. So if you think you can get away with taking away half of you and still surviving, you got some surprises coming. And therefore, if you say the erech, I want to take the erech of half of me, you're chayev the erech of the whole of you. Since nobody's going to realize that it's a completely different situation to say I want to pay half of my erech than to say half of my erech is on me. So because of that, we had to make this gezerah, and therefore he's loke in the sense of needing to pay the extra money of paying the full erech. But meanwhile, says Rav Papa, do you clearly see that the word loke does not have to mean you get a beaten. It simply means the erech, in this case, you have to pay otu erechetzio, and erechetzio is the case, Gavi, please write, eiver shaneshama tluyavo. So when it comes to erechin, an eiver shaneshama tluyavo, any piece of the body, which certainly half the body, any piece of the body that is going to make life impossible without it, is considered to be an erech shalem. Okay, Rabbosai, we shall continue Bezrat Hashem with the grace of the good Lord tomorrow. So this is a nice entryway into the complexities of the Dinim of Motzi Shemra, which is the latest iteration of the concern that we have for the protection of our sweet little Nara. At least we hope she is, but that way this guy gets busted. Laila Tov, everyone. Thank you so much for coming and learning together. What a great way to start the week. Hinei El Yeshua Si Eftach V'lo Efchad.